Hunter from MA UK. I'm here with Emil Mack. Well, hello.
Hey.
You've been so hard to get hold of. I've been bugging you for a year. Thank you so, so much for doing this.
Absolutely. I wanted to give you something good when I had something to give, and then not like just sit and talk about nothing. Now I finally have a fight, and now I'm back to put it on a show, and then it's more fun for me to speak about
your fight. It's so exciting. We're finally getting you to see you back in the cage against Jake Matthews, UFC Auckland. Tell us about the fight.
You know, I've been out of the game for a little while and forced out with some surgeries. And I'm finally back to be like in the monster shape that I'm usually are. And when the IAM management called up the UFC and told them that their long last Viking is ready to return to the UFC, the UFC just offered us the perfect fight. Like Jake Matthews, like you said, in UFC Auckland, February 22nd. Like, this is one of those fights where you kind of feel it. You can feel it like in your soul from the very moment you get presented that this is one of those like really, really, really good ones. And this is one of those fights.
Yeah. Tell me about what it means to be facing him and what you're expecting in there.
Jake Matthews is a good fighter. He's a solid guy. Yeah. Like, he won 4 out of his 5 last fights. He is fierce. He has very few weaknesses. And I think he's one of the very best unranked fighters in the UFC. So on one side, you have Jake Matthews, a hard-hitting Australian with absolutely no quit in him. On the other side, you have a relentless, mad Viking, shredded out of his mind. And I'm trying like modest here, but this is a clash of two welterweight titans in their absolutely prime. So I think it has fight of the night written all over it, and I think that's why the fans will love it, and that's why I love it, and that's why Jake Matthews love it.
Yeah, well, definitely it's the fight that I'm most looking forward to on that card. I'm absolutely buzzing for it, and like you said earlier, it's been a long time since we've seen you in the cage, 18 months. I think we're all gagging for you to get back in there. But you spoke about those injuries and surgeries. What did you have done?
It's just a bunch of shit. Like, yeah, I'm not really fond of talking about it because I hate it. And I don't want to bore anyone else with it. It's a part of the game.
Yeah.
Everybody gets injured at some point, but it's been very a learning experience for me to start to build my body up again, to do some changes in my diet, in my training, the way I train, the total volume of how much I train, because in this sport, like, everybody is tough as nails. And everybody tries to push themselves until they collapse. And everybody thinks more is better. But if you see in any other sport, of course, there's stupid people in the other sports too. They push themselves hard. But there's a lot more like controlled seasons. There's control for overtraining. There's a lot of this stuff. And I really feel like that we are in the pinnacle of MMA right now with how we train and like the smartness that we have now.
I think it's quite a recent thing, but you're hearing people talk more and more about training smarter rather than training harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a low percent of the MMA world that trains smart, but it's definitely getting there for sure.
Yeah. Well, going back, well, maybe not the smartest, but going back to you being a Viking and a bit of a gangster, I saw one of your posts from back in November where you offered to step in and fight Mickey Gall.
Yeah.
When Carlos Condit was forced out with injury. I know you've done this a number of times when fights have fallen through, offered to step in. But this one was funny in particular because you said your doctor probably wouldn't approve of it. So you were still injured then, right?
Yeah. I was having some issues, but man, Mickey Gall, he's been avoiding me ever since I got the UFC contract. I've been asking for him since I got there, and From the very fight, from the very first fight that I asked for him, and the and yeah, he just, he's not interested in this. I can't blame him though.
He don't want this smoke. But some people might think that's crazy to kind of try and even go for a last minute fight because you're coming off two losses. You know, you'd, most people would think that you'd want to be sensible with the next choice, but I guess you're just staying true to yourself and the kind of animal that you are.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I'm here to you know, kind of write my own legacy, kind of write my own history. And when I retire, I want to look back and like think that I done the best I could and done the coolest fights that I could get. And that's like kind of what I want to achieve. Like I want to be in those fights that are epic, that people will remember. And I want people to remember my name and think about something that they miss or something that they were excited for. And every time they see me fight, then I'll get announced for a card. They're like, oh shit, he's, yes. Kind of like, you know, when cowboy fights.
Yeah. When
cowboy fights, I'm like, everybody's, there's no one that, oh, fuck, is cowboy on that card? No, everybody's like, fuck yeah, cowboy's on that card. And that's the kind of guy I want to be.
Yeah, and I think it does take a special kind of fighter. I said this to Sean O'Malley as well, but it takes a special kind of fighter, particularly if you haven't had a ton of UFC fights up until that point, to be out for 18 months and people still really care about seeing them back in there.
Yeah, that's cool. Man, I can't even begin to explain. Like, we have this, we started like a small little group. We call them the Valhalla Army. We were 10 people and it grew to 15 and it just continued to grow. And now we are an army. And those are what they call my supporters. My, like, I got family and friends in there too, but this is what I call my supporters, the Valhalla Army. And they really support me and they have my back. And that's an amazing feeling.
When did you first come up with the name Valhalla, and when did you start calling your fan club the Valhalla Army?
That was in 2015, I think it was. My had a fight in. It was kind of a do or die fight for me. I had came off a loss before my last loss before the UFC. I did a shitty fight. I'm like, okay, shit, I need to pull myself together. This is kind of interesting because I remember I would think like, hey, I wasn't able to perform at my best under these circumstances. And so what I did is like, I brought a lot of friends to my next fight. It was in my neighbor country in Sweden. I brought a lot of friends over and it was in Finland, doesn't matter. But I brought friends over, so we were like a crowd, or like a little gang, walking around there, having fun every single step of the way. Like, we trained, we laughed. There was always like good energy in the air. So it kind of felt like home. And when you feel that comfortable, you know, you feel untouchable, then of course you're going to perform a lot better. And that's what I started to do. So I went in, did my best fight that I probably done like at that point of my career, and I did the same thing for the next one, got another one, and then I got the Polaris one, where we were riled up, like the half of the crowd were rooting for me in Italy, and then we smashed him, and then we did the same thing in Toronto. And like, it just gives me a different vibe to have like the people I love around me. And that's, I don't know if any fighters, like I know there's a lot of amateur fighters and starting to early career pros that ask me like, hey, fuck, I can't really perform. I don't feel like I do the same as when I'm in the gym and stuff like that. And that's my best advice. Like, bring the people you love. Like, of course you have to have like a coach or stuff, but like, bring people that you care about, bring people that know what you're going through, and bring people that makes you happy. It's going to make you perform a lot better.
Well, New Zealand's obviously a long way. Have you got some of those people coming with you?
Yeah. So, like, every time we go to Vegas, like, this time I've been here for 10 weeks. I have my best friend here, Thomas Formo. Me and him are we own a gym up in Trondheim, Evolve Academy, Trondheim. And he's been with me the whole time. Like, he was there. He's been in every single corner in every single fight. And we had, like, different people coming in through Norway. A lot of friends. I have a lot of friends here. And then when we go over to New Zealand, I'm bringing a couple of guys. So it's going to be amazing.
Awesome. Do you feel any more pressure going into this one? I don't know. Like, do you feel like ring rust is a thing? Are you worried about that?
Sorry, the last one.
Are you worried about ring rust at all?
No. I've been out a couple of times. I had a surgery in 2000 and something. And I don't know. I don't really feel it, I guess. Like, it's just, I don't know how to fight. I've done this before. I kind of more miss it than I'm fearing it, I guess. Like, because I know, like, I've done this so many times, and every single fight is such much, it's so much emotions and so much anticipation. So you kind of remember, like, you remember every single one. If you look, like, how was the locker room, what were you thinking? Like, oh, when you stood there waiting and shit like that, you kind of remember everything. So I think I'm not affected by it. I think a lot of people can be, but I don't think I'm affected by it.
And your training camp this time, was it all done in Vegas? I've seen you in the UFC PI.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen you in Extreme Couture before, but I don't know if that was recently or a while back.
Yeah, no, so I did, my pre-camp in Oslo at Frontline Academy. Like, there's great coaches, great guys over there, and good fighters. So just before Christmas, it's hard to get training in Christmas, I guess, in Norway, and it's cold as shit. So I figured, like, hey, let's step up the game. Like, I need the best possible recovery when I'm training. And then I just went to Vegas, better weather. And then I've been working at the UFC PI, of course. And then the Extreme Couture MMA, that's my two homes here in Vegas. And we also has been working, like, my entire camp, I've been working with the legend Gray Maynard. And so he's
cool. I saw a picture with him. That is so cool.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. And he's been taking care of me. He's been, you know, he's been through it all, like the ups and downs of the UFC and the training camps. And he knows all the tricks. And he's an intelligent man, as much as a insanely good fighter with a lot of knowledge. Not all fighters make good coaches, but he absolutely makes a good coach. And he's been helping me the entire camp, and we're going to bring him. I'm going to walk in with him in UFC Auckland, so it's going to be a good feeling.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Some of the other things you posted have really made me laugh about working on your wrestling. You said everyone's a wrestling expert after the fight with Usman. How annoying is that for you to read comments from people who've probably never stepped inside an MMA gym before, telling you what you should have done?
it's absolutely a part of it, but sometimes you get so frustrated, and I'm trying to ignore, like, as much as I can, as long as I can, but some motherfuckers need to get it, and then I'm just like, okay, motherfucker, let's go. Now it's like fucking keyboard war. I tried to stay out of it, but it's hard. It's so very hard.
I know Joe Rogan says not to read the comments, but even me on my interviews, I can't help but get riled by what people say. But when I get offended on fighters' behalves about things that have said. I always wonder what's going through the minds of you guys. Like, you seem to take it with really good grace, but some of them must just really wind you up.
It's very easy to be... I think it's very easy for... I don't know how to put this, but the problem with the internet, I guess, is like it's more negativity. Like, people that sit homes and hates, or just like probably mad at the entire world. They're probably not just you that they're writing shit to, or me, but they, I think the problem is that we don't spread enough positivity online. Like, I think more people, like, it's easy to. It's very easy to spread love and spread like, I don't know, I don't want to say likes, but I want to say like good vibes. It's a very easy and free tool. So I think a lot more people should do that, so that actually that those motherfuckers that always try to ruin people's day get downgraded and more invisible, I guess.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. There's nothing that irritates me more than seeing like a fighter put up a photo with their kid and then somebody just goes, ha ha, you got knocked the fuck out in your last fight. And it's like, what?
That's insane.
Just no safe space.
That's like, that's a rough one. And then like, you kind of want them just to take away their access to the internet and then kind of lock them away in the basement.
I also saw you training with Gary Tonin in one of your Instagram posts. Like, that must be amazing. What is it like training with one of the Danaher Death Squad?
Yeah, I was just there for a day, but I had to say hi to him. He fought Polaris just before I fought. Like, he was in the grappling match, I was in the MMA match, and I just wanted to talk to him. He's a good guy. We didn't get to do much training, but I would for sure be interested in training a lot with him.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
And one more thing that I had to ask you before I let you go, because I've followed you all these years and it's always been bugging me wanting to know, your tattoo on your chest, what does it mean and where did it come from?
it's my zodiac. It's a Leo.
Oh, such a simple answer.
Yeah, very, very simple. And it's... here's how I got it. We were on a class trip? Like a trip with your class?
Oh, yeah. In
10th grade. And we were like, I think I was 17 years old or whatever it was. And then I lived in a small, very small city. There was no, like, tattoo artists, no nothing there. So we got in, I think it was in Prague. And we were a little drunk. And we came in and they, like, we're like, yeah, fuck, let's go fucking tattoos. I'm like, yes. And then we went to three friends walked in, and then they gave us this book, and we started scrolling through the book, and I'm like, fuck. And then when I think back, when you scroll through a book to get your tattoo, then you know you fucked up. And then I'm like, okay, I want that one, because like, I figured that I couldn't like be any harm. And I remember they put it on the copier. They like put 200%, like, so it's to make it bigger, 200%, and then I took it on, I'll just do another one. So they had like 400%, and it's just like, it's like rugged, there's a lot of pixels, and I'm just remembering like, this can't be good. And but it stayed with me ever since, and everybody thinks it's a sperm cell.
I've heard you call it that before, but I was thinking that probably wasn't how it originated. It doesn't surprise me at all that you're a Leo, though. I probably would have guessed that out of the zodiac signs. Well, Valhalla, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Like I said, you've been the guest I've been really trying to wear down and give in to me for over a year. But I'm absolutely delighted to see you back in the cage. Absolutely delighted.
Appreciate it. And thank you for the patience. I know I can be a little difficult sometimes.
No, you're fantastic. You're well worth the wait.
Okay.
Best of luck, safe travels, and enjoy the end of camp.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.